Hello, ladies and gentlemen, it is Red Teens here, and welcome back to our political podcast. And the first thing I would like just to say here is, I hope you had a great day. I had an okay day. Well, maybe I say above average day. I had the rally on like school and like that, so school times were, well, it was the same time as normal, but the school periods were a little bit shorter, so that kind of helped me a little bit. And I don't have much to do in the sense of schoolwork, and I have had a very okay day overall after school. But that is really what I got for today, so we're actually going to move right into the news. And the first news article, which I've actually seen today a lot throughout many news networks, is I think the Virginia governor that passed the abortion law, the abortion bill, about 2 days ago, I think, that I completely opposed, as you know. I've heard that he has had some kinds of ties that he was in some kind of photo or something. I don't know. It's some kind of racist photo. I think it was involving him with someone, if he was in the blackface or he was in the KKK suit, that they were dressing him in like 1984, I think. That's what I remember. And so I'm going to actually go into it. Sorry. But yes, that's what I've heard. So we're actually going to first get into this. So I don't think it's going to really matter politically. He is a Democrat. And I do find, because the fact is, in the past, Democrats have been actually the party that haven't supported black rights. Because if you look at the Democratic Party during the about 19th century, they actually opposed abolishing slavery. And they were actually for black people, but they were against black people having rights into the end of Civil War. And they were even against the Civil Rights Act. So the fact is, hearing about a Democrat that have a past with racial divisions, it won't always be true, but it's definitely something that wouldn't be out of the question. So we're actually going to return back to the article. And so the CNN article states that Democratic Virginia Governor Ralph Northam confirmed Friday he was in a racist yearbook photo showing one person dressed in blackface and another in a KKK's hood. Signature white hood and robes, and apologize for the decision I made to appear as I did in this photo, the decision that caused then and that. The photograph was obtained by CNN, and it appears in the 1984 yearbook for the Eastern Virginia Medical School. Northam did not say whether he was wearing the KKK outfit or the blackface. And so, yes, it was. I think I did hear that CNN was actually the first news outlet to actually report this, so good for them. But this overall, I think, as I've said, it's not going to really affect politics as it since. I think it's just going to cause some controversy, some more racial talks and like that. But I think overall, this whole entire news story is not going to be much of a real, you would say, buzzing about anything like Trump or Democratic blows or Republican blows or anything like that. I think it's going to be more of just a controversial, scandalous, just blackening the Democratic Party, and just overall not really affect politics. Maybe in the future, politics will be in fact decided by that, but I don't suspect that it will be decided. I think it's just, as I've said twice, going to just be another thing that has happened during this year. But I am still going to keep on updates if he confirms or anything, whether he was, if he was in the KKK hood or the blackface. So we're going to move from that to our very next article. And so the next article we're going to get into is about Roger Stone. The newest thing on the Roger Stone trial case is, in fact, that they might put a gag order, which means that no one will be able to report anything outside the trial. And so overall, it virtually, as I said, means that no one will be able to say what happened in the trial. And so it is going to put some little bit interesting you're going to put some fire into the trials, you would say. But we're going to move into the CNN article, which states that Roger Stone, or this is more of a paraphrase, but Roger Stone's going to be very likely gagged. And I heard on the, I think, InfoWars, because I was checking out to see if they had any kind of say inside this entire investigation or on this gag order. InfoWars really just more helped praise Roger Stone, as what InfoWars usually does, because of their history with Roger Stone supporting him heavily. So the gag order is going to, I don't think it's going to improve or not help President Trump in a sense. I think it's going to just maybe not affect really anyone. And so I did hear more about the arrest. I think the arrest personally, I think it was over-exaggerated. I don't think that the arrest of Roger Stone was right. I think it was over the top because they had they brought in a whole SWAT team for Roger Stone. They thought he was going to resist arrest, like, with a gun. Well, then they wouldn't have probably even arrested him. He would have probably been shot at the scene. And so I kind of do criticize the entire raid on Roger Stone because it was just overall over the top. I think it was just not needed for a scenario like that because Roger Stone before, at least from what I've heard, has not been reported to be any kind of violent conversation, at least reportedly. But overall, the Roger Stone case is piling up and, as I said, is starting to get a little bit of political fire to it. But we're still going to have to see much later if it's going to have any kind of effect in politics. And yeah, Roger Stone is going to have a large effect. He's going to either make or break Donald Trump. Well, maybe not help Donald Trump in the sense of that he wasn't involved. I think it's going to be more Trump is either going to lose heavily in the situation or it's not going to affect in any way. But since we are talking about the Russian investigation, I did heard from the CNN exclusive article of when Donald Trump and Don Jr. confrontation that has been confirmed that never happened. It is, as I said, confirmed that it did not happen. So, as I said before, we had to wait for the facts, and the facts have came. And so this is probably very big. This is going to be enormous for President Trump because it's going to put another major blow into the investigation. I'm not sure when the investigation is going to be over or not, but I definitely know that the investigation itself is going to be dealt a very big blow if they are trying to attack President Trump, as President Trump and I sometimes say. But overall, the CNN article is reporting that, or at least that the entire evidence of the incident is growing against the investigation, and that President Trump is becoming more and more likely that he was never involved or anything like that. But again, as we always say as conservatives, that we just have to wait until the facts, because I'm not going to say that we finally dealt a major blow. Even though I did say that it's going to drive a major blow into the investigation, we are not saying that it has happened. Because as we know, we still have to wait a little bit longer to see if there's any type of misinformation or anything like that into the investigation. Then we will decide what we could do with this. But once again, the Russian investigation is escalating with Roger Stone, Don Jr., President Trump, and so it really is. The Russian investigation recently has been exponentially increased due to Roger Stone. I just wanted to put a little bit of a comment out there, but the Roger Stone case, I've always believed, is politically motivated because Roger Stone is an aide to President Trump, and he actually supported Trump, I think, in the 90s or so, or something like that. And so they've known each other. Roger Stone said that he went to, I think, two of Trump's marriages, and he even went to Donald Trump's funeral of his dad and mom. So yes, Roger Stone is a very personal person to President Trump, so I do think it's going to be very important for Trump to see what happened. And the Don Jr. and John Jr. case, I think Don Jr. is still going to get some kind of political backlash for if they find out that he did, in fact, meet with the Russian diplomats. But it's going to not affect Trump's presidency, or maybe it will affect his presidency in the future. I'm not sure. It could affect his future with the family, but as for now, I'm not going to really say definitively that it's going to change any kind of political landscape, because we never know. Because this is like the 2016 election. We thought that the accusations of like the locker room talk were going to completely change the entire election against Trump. Trump wins by about 300 electoral votes. So you never know. It could be, in fact, not helpful, but definitely couldn't be, in fact, never dent President Trump's reputation. But we are going to move from those two articles, and
we're going to get back into Fox News. And so the next article we're going to get into is, in fact, Trump makes announcement that he will put in a national emergency if, in fact, he cannot get the border wall done, or if it's necessary that Democrats continue to resist, that he will force them, at least in their opinion, to build the border. And so the Fox News articles state that President Trump made today is going to at least putting a hint into him putting into a national march. I'm sorry for all the stops and like that. I'm just trying to gather the information as it goes because my phone, it's not a very workable phone. It's never been a workable phone for a very long time. And so I am apologizing for that. I hope that I can, as I've said before, I am trying to improve grammar and spelling. Not really spelling, but definitely mistakes in my podcast to become a better podcaster over time. But still, obviously, I've only been podcasting for about only a month. So this is not like I've been doing this game for a very long time, even though it's felt like a long time. But once again, if Trump declares a national emergency, my opinion is he kind of, not really going to say definitively, but I'm definitely going to say a little bit, Trump has the reason. The Democrats have continually resisted, even with the DACA deals. And even though reports from the intel chief said that there's no crisis at the border wall, I still believe that we need the wall in the future. I think once a Democratic president like Joe Biden, maybe Kamala Harris, especially Kamala Harris. If we get a Democratic president, then we'll definitely need the wall to prevent them from opening the borders heavily, because we know that during many of their presidencies, that they in fact heavily increased the open areas of the border, which caused many illegal immigrants to come in. And so just overall, the entire national emergency, I think it's going to be good for the country itself, but I don't think the opinion of the people are going to really see it as a great reason. I don't think so, at least from what I've seen from local talk shows, podcasts, other types of scenarios. But I am still, in my opinion, because you know that I am, in fact, a very big conservative, and I'm also a pro-Trumpist. Not a heavy pro-Trump, but I'm definitely a pro-Trump. And so I do support Trump on his decision, but I do not support him heavily, because I think at least that, yes, I want the wall, but I do not think it would be very effective if you would say any complications got in, because it really is, as I've said before, the wall was one of the biggest things President Trump had during his presidency. That was one of the biggest points he had during the entire presidency, because he had the economy plan that kind of raised it. He kind of had the military on Syria and the attack on ISIS, which was great. But the wall was one thing that really brought Americans into supporting, because Americans finally realized that we need border security. We cannot have constantly more and more illegal immigrants going in. But as I said, I do still have a little bit of mixed feelings in this national emergency scenario, but I will continue, in a sense, maybe support it or keep myself a little bit in the middle. But that is for you to decide, because as I've said before, this podcast is not meant to really say that your idea is wrong, that it's stupid or anything. It's more of to put the facts and correct the political correctness that is in our country that tries to debunk or attack anyone. Because this is what this whole podcast is about. It is about debunking. It is not about attacking. It's only about attacking when it's actually attackable. It's not just attacking Democrats about their political stance, because that would just be ranting. You have to use factual evidence when they're at their weakest, because that's my opinion of politics. You have to use facts. You have to use actual, you have to actually research your topics, and then you actually have an argument to really at least attack or mostly defend yourself in certain scenarios. But as I've said, that is going to end our article right there. And so we're going to move on to actually more of a video that I found from the New York Times. In the New York Times, they've had many articles that have attacked Trump before, more of in their opinion section, but they've also had some embarrassments with certain other articles that they've been found published. But the New York Times video itself was trying to, I think, at least point the finger, because it was attacking Trump for forcing illegal immigrants into going into dangerous scenarios where they could suffer disease, dehydration, or anything like that. And so the person was trying to make a point that Trump was not putting any effort into protecting them. This is the thing. I've always explained this. Illegal immigrants, they're criminals. They're literally criminals. Why? Yes, we should put hospitals if they're legal immigrants. Yes, I support that, even though we should have some money in order to put more schools and hospitals in our country. Yes, we should do that. But we shouldn't be constantly trying to improve all the areas for the illegal immigrants. That's like saying for the criminal, like you're saying, oh, I don't want him to have a really bad time, so I'm just going to unlock this door. That's legit what she is saying. She's saying, unlock your door and just let the criminal in. And that's just the whole point. It's a horrible point that she's trying to put into the people that are listening to it. Sorry, but the people that are listening to this video and watching it. It is just a plain point that does not have any type of evidence to it other than mostly opinion. Yeah, there's facts that those areas are dangerous places and that we should improve certain areas of the border. But all that really means is that we should put more and more, you would say, you would put more and more security there. Because if the illegal immigrants are so determined to get there, then we should actually put more and more security there to guard it, rather than just say, well, we need to put more, we need to make it lighter there, we got to do all of that. It really is just pointless, as I've said. It's just pointless. But yes, I do agree. We do need to improve the border in the sense of hospitals and medicine and certain like travel and transportation. We do need to improve that. But I feel like we should also keep the strong border defense we've had for a long time, because America's border defense is very essential, especially because of America's democracy. Because America's democracy attracts many people, because in this America's capitalism, anyone has a chance. Anyone has a chance. Bill Gates, he became one of the richest people of all time. Or actually, Rockefeller, he became probably the most powerful businessman probably the entire 20th century. Anyone in America can succeed. You don't need, because in other countries, yes, I'm not saying about Europe, but more of in like Arabian and Asian countries such as like China, Japan, where it's starting just to get harder and harder. America has space. We're saying virtually, hey, if you don't have a job, come to America. But we're not, as the always conservative point is, we're not saying you can just sneak into our country. We're saying that we want you in our country, but we want you legally. I've always pointed out this view. We need immigrants in the country. We need immigrants consistently to keep the economy up. But we do not need people who are illegal immigrants, criminals who've committed crimes. Well, I'm not saying all. Remember, don't try to put the argument that I said all. I'm saying that the sum who commit violent crimes or other associated crimes to take advantage of us, live in housing that's paid, and use welfare that taxpayers are also paying. And so it's just, again, the video itself is not very, in a sense, factual. It's not really presenting a real point that could convince anyone, at least from what I've seen. But I do, as I've said, give credit for its, at least morally, its moral ground. But we are going to move from that and move on to the very next article. And so the next article we are going to go into is in fact talking about, Ocasio-Cortez acknowledges her privilege as cisgendered woman. And so I had to stop for a little bit. I was texting with someone. But the article states that New York Democratic Representative Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez acknowledged her privilege as a cisgender woman during a podcast interview this week, explaining she will never know the trauma of being transgender. And this, yeah, some people suffer trauma from being transgender. There's such as gender dysphoria and obviously transphobia, which in my opinion is not as big as some feminists would like to say. And so she also states that the progressive favorite comments came from a wide-ranging discussion with The Intercept, a liberal news site. quote, almost every single person in this country can acknowledge some privilege of some type, you know. And this is just my belief on this whole privilege thing. I've always believed white privilege is just a whole hoax. I've never believed it. I think it's just something feminists and liberals have made up because they don't want to say that, oh, men and white men are good people. They want to say that they're privileged and that they've always had the top, that illegal, that immigrants never get the top. Black people are always at the bottom. No. White privilege has in fact been disbanded so many times because it is in fact proven that white men are more suicidal. More white people are killed in police attacks. And even though more white people have jobs, it doesn't mean they always have the best job. You got most of 70% of the NFL is made up of black. The NBA is made up of 70% black athletes. And they want to say that there's white privilege in such sports. No. And like at least 50% of the NFL is made up of black athletes. So there's not really an argument of white privilege if most of our sports are dominated by black athletes such as LeBron, J.R. Smith, and I'm just saying J.R. Smith because I cannot really get rest into my mind right now, and including Kyrie Irving. When I think of Kyrie Irving, I'm sorry, but every time I think of Kyrie is when he talked about when the earth was flat, and it just brings on the entire meme of the earth is actually flat, and it's a conspiracy theory that it's round. And it's like, it's just funny. But once again, the whole privilege she's trying to say is, it's just, yeah, I get that she's admitting something, but she's admitting something that's not even true. There's never been a privilege. Everyone starts out the same. Some people are more discriminated than others, but that doesn't mean a white man is discriminated. In fact, right now, white people are probably the most discriminated group in America because of rumors and white privilege and such as that, because we're shown as greedy white slave owners like in the 1800s as they've always depicted us. And I've always had to live with that. I've been living with that for my whole life, where I've always heard of the stereotypical white person as the southern guy who just hates black people and immigrants. That's all I've been having to grow up with. And so once again, Ocasio-Cortez, she is, in a sense, just making up an entire argument that she's in fact, that's again, not even supportive of anything. But Ocasio-Cortez at least is admitting something. Well, in a sense, admitting, as they've said, rather than just constantly encouraging it and saying that everyone else is wrong. And so, you know, it says also that, you know, I will never know the trauma of what it's like not to be born in the right body. And this also brings on the entire transgender statement. And I don't really want to get into that because I have discussed and debunked it. There's gender dysphoria. And I've also talked about how it's the same if, like, someone was trying to, if they were trying to amputate, like, their leg. Yeah, people would think you're insane. But then why is it that you could just cut off your genitals and that wouldn't be as bad? That's probably what she said. So it's like, and I believe that, and it also says, Merriam-Webster defines cisgender as someone whose gender corresponds with the sex person. The person who has identified. There is also no such thing as identify as a gender. You either stick with, because my belief is, and I am Christian. I am Christian. I've always believed this. When you're born in the body and you're either a girl or a boy, you are that gender. You can't just say I identify. Even if you are the same gender when you say identify, you can't just say identify. You are not identifying. You are a girl or a boy. You're not identifying it. It's just so annoying to constantly see that from, like, the leftist elite and not really the leftist elite, but definitely leftists and, like, people part of the LGBTQ community to constantly be putting that argument of people of, like, they're trying to change the entire dictionary from gender you're born with to gender you identify with because they want to make it sound like that person is identifying when in real life, as I've said, they're born like that. They're not identifying. Because I've also heard many stories about children who are like 2 years old. And then the parents are like, okay, sweetie, you're going to what gender do you want to identify as? And I've always seen that as child abuse. It's pure child abuse because the child doesn't even know probably what a gender means. They probably barely know that they are a boy or a girl. So it really is child abuse. It's just beyond child abuse. But we are going to move from that to our very last article of the day. And this one, again, comes from Fox News. And so, the next article we're going to get is from, and this is kind of just a rumor from the State of the Union address. I've heard that he's going to make a big announcement. And this might be kind of our final article because I really can't find much from today. Inform me if there's any news articles that I missed, and I might put that into my next podcast. But I'm kind of just going to go into this because I do only have about 4 minutes and 30 seconds before it completely stops. But Trump has said before that during his State of the Union address, he's going to announce something big. I like Trump's last State of the Union address a lot because I definitely think it was a very patriotic, a pretty emotional State of the Union address due to him. Because if you know about part of his State of the Union address was talking about a survivor who I think used crutches to go from North Korea all the way to, I think, maybe the other end of China. And if you have any idea how long that is, you have any idea? That's like going over probably at least 2,000 miles on crutches. Not like even by car, just on crutches. It would have had to take that guy years to get out of North, to get past all of that. And that's not including all the terrain. Mountains, hills, valleys, such as that. That's just amazing. I think that man is just, he's incredibly devoted, which he probably is, and he's also just incredibly strong. Like, imagine that. I think I could barely crutch like 100 miles before I'd say, I give up. I cannot do this. This is just getting exhausting. Because running 100 miles, yeah, it's exhausting, but because I do track and field and cross country, I would be used to it. But crutching your way that way is like, you're kind of, even though you still aren't using your leg, you're having to use your arm muscles constantly. But so the State of the Union address, again, Trump has said that, or at least put rumors in, that there's going to be something very big. And this excites me because I don't actually know really what he's going to do. I hope it's not involving the border wall or anything like that in the State of the Union address because I don't want anything involving that. But I'm still interested in learning or at least seeing what President Trump could be doing. And also the State of the Union address is going to be, in fact, on Monday if you want to watch it. I'm probably not going to watch it due to school and like that, but I am going to probably be, I'm probably going to review the highlights of it and talk about it during that political podcast. But overall, the rumor states that he's going to maybe put something involving political status or economical, something like that, I think. But I do not have as much information as I want, so we're going to have to just end it right there. And so, that's going to end this political podcast for today. And I hope that you have a great rest of your night. I had to upload this later because I was trying to get a few certain games into my computers, but they were not working at all. And I was talking with some of my friends on a Discord for about an hour or so. And I had a pretty good time. But once again, I thank you for listening. I hope you have a great rest of your night. And I hope you have a great Saturday in the future.